This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to A Ride Along. We have with us special guest, Unib Sheikh, Hafiz Unib Sheikh, with us, along with Ahmad and myself. And the topic of today's discussion, which we are completely winging it, is Surah Al-Ahzab.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
For those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically a chapter in the Quran, the Surah, about the Battle of the Trench during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the full content I am not aware of because I don't know the surah.
So the story is basically this. Every year in Ramadan, we go over, for the past 2 years, we've done with Sheikh Waleed Basuni, Hafidhullah, we read books of tafsir. And this year, what we did was we read Surah Al-Ahzab.
Nice. Who was the tafsir by?
So the idea is that what we do is we'll read from different books. So different collections. So every week we'll take a different author, and it's beautiful because you get to, you know, you get to understand a little bit what the methodology of what Al-Qurtubi, for example, how does he write and what does he focus on? What does Ibn Kathir? What does his tafsir, for example? What did he specialize in?
Are these classes all in Arabic?
Yeah, because you're not gonna. Most of them aren't even translated, so you're just gonna. So what we do is we basically just read.
Okay.
And you're reading and reading,
like,
and reading.
I hear about this class that this guy attends, but it's like I can't benefit because I don't know.
For us who don't understand Arabic.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like I can get by in a conversation maybe, but when it comes
to Hajj Zaykida. Hajj Zaykida.
Nam.
Ayyuha. Just what, threw you off.
I was just remembering the last time I said the word unsuriya, Syria, which is racism. Bilal's like, I don't understand, what does the mother of Syria have to do with everything? He thought I was saying umsuriya. Like, what are you talking about, man?
No, that was my question.
So his what Arabic is about as good as my Urdu, which is kana kana hai, ham namaz par chike hai, namaz par hai. That's about it.
All right, clap your hands.
Hold on. Let me put in this address.
You clap your hands. Somebody clap their hands. There we go. Welcome back. Double check, because this was half battery. All right. I don't know how much we lost in the last one, but yeah. You said change your battery pack like less than a few minutes in. But anyway, we're talking about Surah Al-Ahzab and my inability to purely understand academic Arabic and how this guy is able to attend all these cool classes and learn with Sheikh Waleed.
So what I had wanted to just share like three or four gems from that surah that I really enjoyed. So one is, this one actually was something that was shocking for me, okay? So, you know, Surah Al-Ahzab obviously goes into the story of Al-Ahzab. And then Al-Qurtubi, while he's, Al-Qurtubi, he has, you know, he spends a lot of time discussing seerah. And so he tells the entire story of Al-Ahzab from like the beginning to the end. And then he has a narration in there, which as we were reading, I'm like, guys, stop! Because everyone just kept going over it. They just went over it and then they just kept reading. And you know, the story of Al-Ahzab, after the battle of Al-Ahzab, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh dies.
Yes.
Great companion. An absolute, yani Sa'd.
He was the baller, right?
Amazing. I don't know if he's a baller, but he was the leader amongst the Ansar.
Okay.
And he, you know, is absolute, like, legend, this guy. Absolute legend, radiallahu anhu arda. So, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh passes away right after the battle. And Aisha, there's a narration that Al-Qutri mentions from Aisha, that Aisha, radiallahu anha, she says, other than Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never saw a man who was more handsome than Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And everyone just keeps on reading. And I'm like, hold on, guys. Hold on. And everyone's like, what? I was like,
how do you skip over this guy?
No, not just how do you skip over the narration itself, that Aisha radiallahu anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, is saying that this man was exceptionally handsome. I have never seen anyone who's more handsome than him other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I was like, is it really like the mother of the believers would say something like that publicly, and Qurtubi would just write it and everybody would just read it like it's something that's normal? Like, how would you imagine imagine like a sister saying, oh my God, this brother is, not oh my God, but this brother is like the most handsome person other than my husband. Like, would our culture allow for something like that to be said? And everybody's like, you're just, you know, you're being weird. like, no, this is, I don't think this is acceptable in our culture anymore. And so that was something that just really, you know, it stood out to me, because their culture was pure-hearted. And so that allowed for them to engage each other in a way that we don't allow for ourselves, and rightfully so, because of the fact that we have so many ulterior motives.
Okay.
We have negative, you know, like, connotations behind the things we say.
Negative connotations behind the things we say. Our hearts aren't as pure. And so you'll find the ways that the Sahaba interacted with each other, the male and the female, you find that they interacted with each other with greater frequency because they had greater innocence. So, like, Ka'b ibn Malik, he talks about how in his story of his repentance after the Battle of Tabuk, he mentions in his, you know, telling of his own story, he says that, you know, Salama, the wife of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she was really concerned about my affair, like my issue, like the fact that he's like, she was really concerned. And so when the revelation came down of him being, his repentance being accepted, he's telling the story how it was revealed in the house of Salama, and how Salama said, "O Messenger of Allah," like,
he had no relation to her.
No.
Okay. But they lived, not in the that same I know of, building or what?
No, not lived in the same building. They didn't have apartment complexes and stuff like that.
It's just that they were on the Sahaba's.
He just knew that she cared a lot about the fact that he was being boycotted by the Muslim community.
Okay.
You know, so, like, there was this brotherhood. Gotcha. There was a fraternity amongst the brothers and sisters in Islam during that time, which you don't really find now because, again, it's, we deal with each other with a lot more distance because of the fact that, you know, we all have to guard ourselves. So anyway, that was the first thing. The second is the verse where Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. Tell the believers, give them glad tidings, that they have from Allah Azza wa Jal great bounty, great grace from Allah Azza wa Jal. Lots of favors. And so I remember Sheikh Wadid saying that this is a verse that people who are active in da'wah, they really, really, really need to remember, because we're very much about warning people. You know, everybody's going to the hellfire, everybody's this and this.
The haram police.
That guy's wearing a Rough Riders t-shirt.
I'm sorry. Like
I just see that. I'm like, wait a second.
And he says, you know, Allah is telling us that we should be people who give glad tidings to people and let them know that the Lord that they worship, He is the bestower of incredible favor and incredible grace.
So don't always be, you're going to hell.
No.
Essentially. No.
The Prophet says, بَشِّرُ وَلَا تُنَفِّرُ وَيَسِّرُ وَلَا تَعَسِّرُ. He says, give glad tidings and don't repel, and make things easy and don't make things difficult. What was the next one? The other one, and this really was just amazing. We got to Ibn Kathir at this point. By this time in the surah, we're reading from Ibn Kathir.
Okay.
And there's
so what,
the
you guys
verse.
Are going like book by book
yeah
by book?
So we're just like, you're reading for 1 week, we read from Al-Qurtubi. The next week, for example, we read from Al-Tabari.
So you go through, you go through the whole surah in 1 week?
No, you're not reading it again and again. You're just reading, for example, the first 10 verses.
Okay, so you just choose different books to read from that
week. Yeah, so you're just hopping around, and so by the end you've read the tafsir of the surah but from different sources.
Okay. I gotcha.
So you get different,
so
angles.
It's like 1 to 10 week 1, 2 to 20,
yeah,
or like 11 to 20 the next week, but it's a different source.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
So it gives different, so does it give you like different angles then?
That's kind of like watching like a collection of short films on the same topic, but from different directors of each film.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
Or how about this, Bilal? It's like watching one of those episodes where the same situation happens, but from the different vantage points of the different characters. Okay.
Yeah, but you're in the story at that point.
Yeah.
We're talking about different people who presented the story.
You're right. You are right.
Anybody see the Animatrix? You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, somehow I took the wrong
turn. Or Gotham Knight.
The next verse, though, which was amazing, was Allah says in the surah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Those who harm the believing men and the believing women with other than what they've done, they have taken upon themselves slander and manifest sin. The people who accuse the believing men and the believing women, you accuse them of something other than what they've done.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then they have taken it upon themselves to commit slander and manifest sin. All right. Kathir, he mentions a hadith in his tafsir of that verse, but the hadith is weak. The hadith is, the Prophet ﷺ says, do you know what the most riba of riba is?
Okay. The riba of riba.
The most riba of riba.
Okay.
The most usurious of usury.
Okay.
What is the worst riba that you can do, basically?
Compound interest?
What is the most compound of it? And he says, that which you take from the dignity of a Muslim. That which you incur of the honor of a Muslim.
Interesting.
Because riba means to increase. So it's like what you exaggerate, what you
okay.
what you take of a Muslim. Right? And you just think about that because like look how many conferences happen. Look how much stress and energy is exerted in this issue of interest.
Yeah.
Right? And how much people try to avoid even, you know, the a dollar of interest.
And those do not enter, bro.
Is it?
Yeah, look.
All right.
It's going the wrong way.
Then we're not entering.
The action scene.
Sorry, guys.
Boy.
Maybe you shouldn't hold the stick.
Well, it's not a stick gear. Shift car, bro.
Whatever. I don't know why you're putting your hand on it.
So I can hold the microphone.
Maybe you should hold the microphone.
Oh, God.
Well, we had our action scene, at least.
We got our action scene in.
I mean, that was hardly an action scene. You should see when I'm driving by myself.
Dude's going the wrong way. It says do
turn
not enter.
Four lane traffic going the opposite way.
What is this guy doing?
So the most usurious of usury is that which you take of the honor of your Muslim. And so Sheikh Waleed commented on that and he said, look at how much people, you know, they're concerned about interest. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he didn't say that the thing that will most enter people into the hellfire is the dirham and the dinar. But the thing that will most enter the people into the hellfire
is
their tongues.
Nice. Scary, but
bro,
clear.
That's like how easy we type things, how easy we tweet things, how easy we say things. And those are the things that take us into the hellfire the most. The last thing that really stuck with me is the last verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ.
Action scene! So much action in one drive!
I really need to get like a suction cup thingy.
You really need to. Because I'm like driving so slow and so gingerly.
Gingerly.
At the same time.
Dude's taking turns left and right. Going down the wrong way, making U-turns and...
All right. San Antonio, here we come.